1029 The Hog presents another Bob and Brian podcast.
Brought to you by ScreenX, exclusively at Market Ridge Cinema in New Berlin. ScreenX provides moviegoers with a 270-degree viewing experience. Immerse yourself in the breathtaking visuals at Marcus Ridge Cinema's ScreenX in New Berlin. Get your tickets at marcustheaters.com.
It's for Gary Graff. Good morning, Gary. How are you?
All right. I've got my tropical print shirt on for you, just to feel like I'm there today.
All right. Since we're at Margaritaville, what is your favorite or the best Jimmy Buffett song of all time? What is it?
So it's a song called Midnight and I'm Not Famous Yet. And it's from the late 70s, kind of a deep album track. Would you expect any? You didn't think I was going to say Margaritaville or Cheeseburger in Paradise, did you?
That's just too common. You would do that.
Every now and then you'll surprise us with your answers, and it could have been Cheeseburger in Paradise. I didn't think it would be, but you never know.
Those are great songs. You know, they are. But Midnight and I'm Not Famous Yet is one that I always heard him play it live before I heard it on record and really just dug the song.
Carrie pointed out that you don't go but maybe three or four songs here at Margaritaville before you hear another Jimmy Buffett song. So they really lean into it. I mean, you don't go, "What? Where's the Buffett flavor?" It's here.
Well, as well it should be, right?
Exactly. I am just dying to know what question three Jeopardy contestants missed where the answer was Taylor Swift.
I actually saw
what
this.
What was the question?
And when they all missed it, the last guy said, "We're going to hear about this."
So this was in the Songs of Youth category, and Ken Jennings reads the clue, inspired by her bestie, Tay-Tay, saying, "When somebody tells you they have you at this, when somebody tells you they have you at this title age." So basically the song title is an age. And you can't go too wrong.
It's a number.
Oh. And I'm sure Bob knows it. Let's put it this way. It's not driving
15?
Age yet.
17?
No,
it's 15, right?
15, very good.
It's 15, yes. Oh, thank God I remembered. But I only knew that because they gave the answer. Yeah. On the show.
I wasn't going to point that out.
I don't
out.
Know that I know the song that well.
Yeah, I wasn't going to point that out. I was just going to let you get away with knowing the song. All three of them missed it. And like Bob said, one of the contestants knew that would become a news story, and it did. Our friend Taylor, though, this week did set a new record for streaming, as she sets her record with everything she did. Now she has the most music film ever streamed on Disney+. The Eras Tour film, in its first weekend, had 4.6 million views and 16.2 million hours watched. So that's more than the Elton John movie and the Beatles, Get Back, more than Beyonce. She set a record, and we're not surprised at all.
All right, and speaking of Beyonce, she's trying to drum up some excitement about her guests that she'll have on her album, and then there was a bunch of people breathlessly hoping and saying, "Will it be Taylor Swift?" She doesn't need Taylor Swift.
She doesn't need them, and Taylor isn't country anymore. Dolly Parton, like we talked about last week, has kind of come out and said, that she's pretty sure there's a version of Jolene on the album, and a lot of people are speculating it's with Beyonce, because Beyonce posted a social media message this week saying there would be a few surprises and collaborations with artists I deeply respect. So now the other thing that came out of this post, though, was Beyonce revealed that Cowboy Carter, the album, has been 5 years in the making and was born out of an experience that she had some years ago where she did not feel welcome. And this is in the country genre. So it hasn't taken long for people to zero in on, she's talking about the 2016 Country Music Awards, Country Music Association Awards, where she played she played with the Chicks that night. Her song Daddy Lessons from the Lemonade album, which is a country-flavored kind of song. Well, you know, that was kind of an odd setup in 2016 because Beyonce was just off the halftime show, Super Bowl halftime show, where she had paid some tribute to the Black Panther Party. Not something likely to go down well with a Stone Country audience. And she's there with the Chicks, who a lot of people had not forgiven for their remarks, you know, at the beginning of the Iraq War some 20 years ago. So this was kind of a double blind for not being received well in the country community. But apparently Beyonce remembers it and still bears a grudge, which is what she says was the inspiration for her to go ahead and do a full-scale country album.
So they may not have been all mad at her or uncomfortable with her. They could have still... It's like that apology where the girlfriend says, "I'm mad," and the boyfriend goes, "Still or again?" You know?
Right.
And that's kind of the situation she was in.
Exactly. So she, you know, she says that, well, she hasn't identified that as the inspiration, but a lot of people are guessing that was the case. So, you know, listen, more will be known come March 29th when Cowboy Carter comes out.
All right, let's say Taylor Swift is on that album. Can the universe hold together? Are we prepared for that moment if it happens?
I would say we need to fill up some of those, you know, like the massive water tanks that they use to stabilize scaffolding at construction
and
sites.
And everybody buy toilet paper, too.
Yeah, I would do that. I would stock up on the water.
Fill your bathtubs and get extra toilet paper.
Exactly.
Jeff Lynne says he's going on a farewell tour. This is it?
This is it. They say, you know, it's Electric Light Orchestra. They're going to do one final tour that they call the Over and Out Tour. Kicks off in Palm Desert, California on August 24th and runs through October 25th when they'll be close to home, or at least close to Jeff Lynne's home in Inglewood, California. Tickets for that go on sale tomorrow. And that was one of just a number of big tours for the summer that was announced. Roger Daltrey of The Who is going to go out on an acoustic, or what he calls a mostly acoustic tour featuring Who songs and rarities, some of his own solo music. It's just going to be nine cities in June. It starts in Vienna, Virginia, and bounces around to Boston, Detroit, New York, and some other places. Stone Temple Pilots and Live are teaming up for a summer package that will also include Soul Asylum and Our Lady Peace. So it's kind of a come and get these memories tour. Kicks off August 16th in Concord, California. Comes to Milwaukee on September 14th at America Family Insurance Amphitheater. And then the Pretenders will do a U.S. tour this summer, playing mostly smaller venues. That kicks off on July 13th in New Jersey. Plays July 29th in Milwaukee at the Riverside Theater. Tickets for that, as well as for the Stone Temple Pilots and Live Tour, also go on sale on tomorrow, Friday.
When you say ELO, Jeff Lynne's doing the ELO thing, is there anybody from the original ELO that's going to be touring with him?
No, it's just Jeff Lynne and the band he's been playing with for the past 15 years or so. So, you know, they do a good job. But, yeah, no Richard Tandy, no Bev Bevan. You know, certainly no Roy Wood, who was only there for one album.
Bret Michaels, you said, has made a weird announcement about things he will do and things he will not do in 2025.
Yeah, so he comes out this week and talks about how, due to undisclosed health reasons, and after much discussion and real advice, he says, from doctors and family, he'll be taking most, if not all, of 2025 off. But then he says, except for a few select dates with the Bret Michaels band and possibly all original Poison. You know, when I spoke with him back in January, he had said 2025 was going to be a year of Poison. Maybe some new music, definitely a tour. So I don't quite know what to make of this. Maybe he has to scale down what he was planning. He does say this is not anything fatal. He just needs to take some time off. But interesting that he's pegging that for 2025 and not when we're at near the beginning of 2024. if you had a real health issue, wouldn't you be looking at what you're immediately dealing with and dealing with it in short order?
Yes.
I don't know. You know, maybe he needs a surgery before the end of the year, and that's what's going to affect 2025. He's not saying specifically there will be opportunities to talk to him about what's going on, you know, and at some point, and we'll report back once we know more. But it did seem a very odd announcement.
We are certainly in rum country, so what's with the Beach Boys rum line?
Yeah, so the Beach Boys have their own their own spirits line. It's called Club Kokomo Spirits, and they're going to introduce a new line of premium rums in the very near future. They're going to have three different craft rums: artisanal white rum, barrel finished rum, and Tahitian vanilla rum. And they're all blended and bottled by hand, and they're going to roll out very soon to select retailers and online.
And you said these are going to be premium rums. Does anybody just run out average Joe rum? You know, just it's cheap. It's not great, but it's cheap. We'll get it to you that way.
Nobody seems to do that with liquor. When Sammy Hagar put out the Red Rocker beer last fall, he did kind of position it as this is just an everyday Joe's beer. You know, it's not a craft beer.
All right, so it does happen.
You know, it's just happen, but not so much with liquor. You know, I don't think
How
you're going to say.
Paul Simon now?
Paul Simon he's got to be close to 80, I think.
And it's not unusual for an 80-year-old man to go through some hearing loss, right?
Right, which Paul Simon has. You know, last year he revealed that he had suffered some, lost nearly all the hearing in his left ear, which has made him unable to perform live. Well, now he's out doing some interviews to promote this new docuseries, Restless Dreams, that started airing last week and concludes on this coming Sunday. And he says he's starting to regain some of the hearing that, you know, his doctors had recommended just plain rest and let the ear recover a little bit. And he said it's starting to, not yet to the point where he could do a live band show yet, but possibly where he could get out just him and his acoustic guitar and play some songs for an audience. So we'll see if that happens.
Since we're talking about Paul Simon, how's Garfunkel's hearing? Because nobody ever asks about Garfunkel.
They usually don't, and he has alluded to having some hearing issues of his own, too. You know, I think most of these guys...
I have hearing issues, too, you know.
Yep.
But you don't be crying about it all day long, right?
The best thing that had to happen to, you know, really to music in general, but for these older performers, and you see them with them on stage, it's like they're plugged into the Borg or the Matrix or something. They have what are called in-ear monitors, and it's basically a hearing aid, but it sticks, so you're not listening to ambient stage sound, and you don't have to worry about the crash of a cymbal, which is a real killer for hearing.
You get a direct board feed with those, right?
Right, and you get exactly what you want and need. So you can hear yourself, and if you want to hear a little more drums or a little more guitar or piano. So, you know, that's been that's really extended a lot, the career for a lot of these people.
Yeah. Springsteen, he said, I'll be in Phoenix, and he was in Phoenix. You can't hold that guy down.
He had to, after last September 3rd, he had to postpone his tour because of, you know, he's suffering from a peptic ulcer, and it took a few months, but he is back on the road. He did 29 songs in Phoenix the other night, and, you know, he's off and running with a tour that's going to take him around the North America and then out to Europe in the summer, back to North America in the fall. So we have Bruce to kick around again. And he threw a few new songs into the show, but was largely doing the show that he started out doing almost a year ago now.
And he's taking this peptic ulcer out on tour now, right?
Exactly.
He's dealing with it. He just has to take his medicine.
He does. You know, he got it under control. And like you say, you know, with medicine, he can go out and he can be Bruce again.
All right, maybe this happens so often that it doesn't make your list this week, but did you see the story about John Mellencamp in Toledo?
I did. I almost went to that show and then had to stay home for some reason. So this has been happening throughout the tour. So he does an acoustic segment, which, you know, that it kind of opens it up to others in the audience, let's say, who would like to be participatory in the show. Some of us call them hecklers. So John had one yelling at him to play some music, in Toledo when he's doing this. And, you know, John said, well, what do you think I've been doing you? And he called the man a not-so-nice name. And then he directed his sound tech to, you know, go get this guy and meet me after the show outside. listen, John is, you know, John was, Mellencamp was a get-off-my-lawn guy when he was young. And so, you know, things haven't changed as he's become an old guy. And, you know, it's a tough, I can understand it's a tough thing to deal with, especially since I've seen this show. And he's spinning, during that segment, he's spinning a really nice story about his grandfather. And it really is. It's a really nice story. It has a lot of, it belongs in the show, gives a lot of context to it. So I can understand him getting a little annoyed, but it happens in almost every show, you know, that somebody kind of injects themselves into the proceedings there. But this time he took off on the guy, or he either took off on the guy a little more than usual, or there were just more reporters at this show. So the world heard about it. And the problem with something...
You've talked with John Mellencamp, right? You've interviewed him in the past?
Yeah.
How has that gone for you? Is he confrontational all the time, or did you catch him on a good day?
No, not all the time. He and I, now I'm fortunate, he and I go way, way back, even before American Fool and Jack and Diane and Hurt So Good. So we have a, you know, and he knows that and remembers that. So, I think I get the best of him. I mean, he's the typical guy. Ask him smart questions, you'll have a good interview. Ask him dumb questions, he's going to go off on you. So... you know, ask him a dumb question that's funny, and he'll go with it. You know, ask him a dumb question that's just a dumb question, and you're going to have an issue. So, you know, he's a smart guy. He's a very passionate guy, and he's been doing this a long time, and he knows what he wants to do with his music. And he does not.
But he
does not
suffer. He's an a-hole. I've seen him say that.
Oh yeah, listen. He was known as, when you read a production credit on some of those '80s albums, it's by his partner, Don Gaiman, and the Little Bastard. The Little Bastard is John Mellencamp. So he knows what he is. He knows what his temperament is. And you either play...
All right, where do we finish up this morning?
Well, this one, I just kind of found this overnight, but it's an interesting hearing, and it brings us full circle, because a judge in California Appeals Court rejected Metallica's lawsuit demanding that their insurance company pay more than $3 million in losses stemming from concerts that were canceled during the pandemic. Okay, a lot of artists have tried this. Almost all of them are failing, because in most insurance policies, including Metallica's, it has a very, very clearly stated inclusion against acts of God, force majoris, or in the case of Metallica, it literally said from losses stemming from communicable diseases. So it's kind of right there. But what was interesting was the judge cited Taylor Swift in her ruling. She just basically told Metallica to shake it off. And, you know, the insurance company very clearly did not have to, you know, pay for these losses. Metallica's contention was this should be tried. Perhaps a jury would see it otherwise. And you know, the judge basically said, come on. You know, nobody, you know, everybody who lived through the pandemic, plus everybody who studies it in years to come, is going to be hard-pressed to say that, that this clause does not apply, that a communicable disease was not at work here. So Metallica lost it, and they had Taylor Swift thrown in their face.
So the judge says, you get nothing. We'll see you later.
Exactly. And like I say, they're not the first. they're not the first band to have lost that kind of suit.